Church planting was definitely the best and the scariest decision I've ever made in my life.
Man, this church, the best way I describe this church is that
we're really about our community, that community not just being who's in the building, who we see every Sunday, but who's in the community around us.
I think a good example of that is we meet at an elementary school, 54th Street Elementary, and I also work here as well. Just last week, we had the chance to come and do a nutrition workshop with some of the parents from here. One of our members of the church came. I think that's just an example of people using their gifts and their skills to bless the community.
The church here, the community here is like a family. As you can see, like, everybody's around. No one's going home.
Amen. When we were in Dallas thinking about leaving Dallas to LA to start church, we wrote down a pros and cons list. I grew up very logically, and my wife grew up very faith-filled. And there was about three things that were pros, and there was about 33 things that were cons of moving to LA and leaving. And I was like, oh, that settles it. You know, we're going to stay, clearly, you know. And Ray, my wife, she was like, how many times did people in the Bible make a faith move based off of logic and based off of the pros, or, based off of the cons? And I was like, ah. So, yeah, you're right. You know, so we prayed, and there was just so much peace about such a hard decision, such a scary decision. You know, when I was telling people that I was putting my resignation at my job, I mean, my boss, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, my boss literally called me an idiot. You know, he was like, yo, you're an idiot. And he was dead serious. He was like, you have a straight shot to being an executive at a multi-billion-dollar company, and you're going to quit? He's like, you're young. You know, you just got married. You're going to leave everything to go into a city that you've never, you know, that you don't know anyone at. And I was like, yeah, I know. Sounds crazy.
Right now, as you can see, we're setting up, getting ready for service at 10 a.m. We're going to start 10 a.m. sharp, so be there.
When we planted Harbor, or when we were planning on planting Harbor, we wanted to plant with the hopes of building a community center. Right, not just a church on Sunday, but we wanted to plant a community center where Monday through Saturday we would be a place where literally people would come for daycare, for financial literacy, for education. Our grand opening was 3 months before the pandemic hit, and so we had these great plans of, you know, building towards this community center. And when the pandemic hit, it just, everything kind of shut down. So we met as a team and we said, man, what are ways that we could still be home healing and hope, you know, even if we're locked in? And one of the ways we did that is by using the rent money that we had budgeted for the rest of the year at the school. Since LAUSD terminated our agreement, we used that rent money every month to be able to provide and meet needs of our community, people from our church, people from our community, even small businesses. We would give monthly to small businesses who are struggling, who couldn't make ends meet. People started donating to it because they were so passionate, they were so excited about it. So people started donating to it. We were able to give to the school and the families at the school. People would be lining up at the school, and God really showed up. He was so faithful in how he came through for us, and we were able to give over $115,000 our first 2 years as a church. It was just this amazing opportunity for us to just come together and just pour into our community. And especially as a first time, as a first year church, during a pandemic, you know, it was kind of, you know, at the time we should have been saving as much as we could. We were just spending like everything we had. That has just become our DNA now, you know. We by God's grace, are known as a church who just loves our community, and that's exactly what our hope is. So community outreach has been the foundation of our church, and hopefully continues to be that way. A if I stayed in Dallas, I would have missed out on witnessing some amazing ways that God provided for me, for my family, and for Harbor and our communities.
Thank you all for being here, and I get emotional watching that video. If you don't mind, I'm going to probably get emotional. This is normal on a Sunday for me to cry. Sorry, I didn't plan on doing this. sometimes you get sometimes you forget, when life gets challenging. I think sometimes when life gets busy and challenging, I think sometimes you forget to all the words that God spoke over you. And you're just reminded of his faithfulness. And I think that video reminded me of God's faithfulness over the years. And God is faithful. So, God is faithful. Amen. 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 I'm gonna make it through, and hopefully this doesn't count towards my preaching time. I'm just kidding. I'm so glad for you all to be here. If this is your first time, so glad that you have chosen to come to such a beautiful church. I am not the pastor of this church. I don't have the honor of being that. My brother, my church planting coach, my friend Scott is the pastor. So give it up for your pastor Scott, who is an amazing man of God, and he loves the Lord. He loves you all. And I think that's an honor for me as a church planter, a person who started a church. It's an honor for me to be coached by him, to be mentored by him through this, because he just has such an amazing heart for people and for you, for this community. And I really hope you understand just the gravity of how amazing Scott is, and his family, Hannah, and all the kids, all five kids. My goodness, five kids that he has. So God bless you and your family. Seriously, thank you for having me, and glad to be a part of the show. So if this is your first time, you really struck gold here. So I hope you stay. I hope you find community and the people that that are a part of this church. Every time I've come here, I've been here, I think, once before, but I've met you all in different events and things like that. But every time I've come here, I've just really been greeted with so much love. And it's just, I love coming here because of the love that I literally feel as soon as I walk into the parking lot. And I am, I'm truly blessed to be here. So, with that being said, I'm joined here. Usually I also just, before I start my sermon, I also just have to apologize. I was supposed to be here by 8 a.m. today. But this is my first time traveling with my family. And I didn't realize that there are certain things I have. We have a 7-month-old at the house and a 2-year-old. I mean, at the hotel, and a 2-year-old. And I didn't realize that it would be this difficult to leave the hotel room with two kids. So my apologies for the team for being late, and just regardless, I'm glad I'm here, and I am excited to share the word with you all today. So if you have your Bible, if you want to turn to Psalm chapter 1, we're going to get started. And today, as you're turning to Psalm chapter 1, I gotta say, I am very surprised that I got invited back here. because last time I came, if you remember, I did throw some shade towards your town. I did throw some, I was making fun of certain things in this town, and, I just didn't think I'd be invited back. So I come back. And with my family, and let me tell you, my daughter loves it here. So I do want to say that. She loves seeing all the cows and all the farmlands. And just kidding. We only saw like three cows here. It's like, no worries. She didn't realize that, oh, McDonald's was a real thing. You know, she thought it was only on TV. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, I'm going to read from the NIV version. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and whose meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, they prosper. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time that you have given me. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I just pray that in this time, in this moment, that we are here, present, here in your presence. And we just pray that you can use me as an empty vessel. God, as I preach this word, that you use it to plant seeds in the hearts of those who are listening, and that this word can produce fruit in their life, and this word can be, it can produce fruit in their life, and it could be a sustainable resource for their joy, for their wisdom, and all the things that they do throughout their life. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody says, amen. All right. I was researching. I like to do some research from time to time. And there was a study that was published in an article recently that found that individuals who focus primarily on their own needs and consistently are taking from others tend to experience lower levels of well-being in life. They tend to experience lower levels of life satisfaction. Those who are very focused on their own needs, those who are focused on taking, and those who are focused on using the resource tend to experience lower levels of life satisfaction and well-being in general. They experience strained relationships. They experience mental health crisis. They experience loneliness and isolation. They experience a lack of purpose and motivation, which is probably the worst part of it all, is that they experience a lack of purpose and motivation. And this is what the study found. And then on the contrary, another study found another thing where those who they said, wow, this is what an amazing, thank you. Thank you. And on the contrary, they found that those who there was a study that shows that those who have a habit of generosity, those who have a habit of giving and being the resource, not just monetarily, not just with money, but just in, you know, emotionally, physically, mentally, they experience higher levels of well-being and life satisfaction. They experience healthier relationships. They experience a healthy mental capacity. They experience a full life of purpose. They're extremely inspired and full of motivation. And not only that, but they found in this study that those people who focus more on giving and being generous, again, not just financially, but emotionally, physically, in every way, they found that those people that are around them also begin to thrive and experience all the things that they're experiencing as well. This is what the study found. And so here's the two things that I learned from this study, because this is kind of a psychological and scientific study that they did. This was not a Christian study. This wasn't based off of faith or anything like that. And so when I read this study, I was surprised. And the two things that I learned from this study is, number one, I learned that science is finally catching up to the Bible, right? Science is psychology, all these things is finally catching up to the Bible, because we already knew these things as Christians. We already know these things. We know because the Bible talks about it all the time. And so I realized, I'm like, oh my gosh, thank God science is finally catching up to the Bible, right? The second thing that I learned is that there's two types of people in this world. And number one, there's people who are the plug, and then there are people who seek the plug. Now, the plug, you might not know what that means, but that's kind of a cool lingo that all the kids are saying. And the plug, I have a definition of it, just in case. But the plug is a term used to describe someone who is a resource for obtaining something valuable that would otherwise be difficult to obtain, right? The plug is essentially someone who is a resource of obtaining something valuable. And so the kids would say, hey, I'm the plug for sneakers, or I'm the plug for specific things, whatever it is, right? So that's what the plug means. So there's two types of people in the world. There are the people who are the plug, and then there are people who are looking for the plug. Because the Bible says those who are blessed are like trees planted beside streams of water, and it produces fruit that is beneficial for those who eat from it. That's what Psalm tells us, right? And so when you're plugged in with God, you become the plug for those around you. So if you're looking for a title for this message, it's called, I'm the plug. Can somebody turn to your neighbor and say, I'm the plug? Turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm the plug. There you go. Amen. So we're going to go through this passage one by one, verse by verse. And I'm going to try to explain to you what being the plug has anything to do with this passage that I read. Verse 1, it says, blessed is the one, right? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Blessed in this passage can be translated to happy, right? It can be translated to happy. It can be translated to something that happens to you and you become better or happy or blessed. And so when you describe blessed, you're describing yourself, man, I am happy. I find joy in whatever it is that you're blessed by. And so it says, blessed is a person who does not take counsel from those who have no regard for God, right? Blessed is a person who is not influenced by those who do not know God. And blessed is a person who doesn't get cozy with those who mock God, right? This is what the Bible is saying. Blessed are these persons. It describes a person who's blessed as a person who's not standing in the way of the wicked, who's not sitting in the counsel of those who are mocking God, and those who do not take counsel from those who are sinners. And then verse 2, it says this, blessed are those who delight in the word, I'm sorry, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, whose delight is in the word of God, and who meditate on it, on his law, day and night. And in other words, a blessed person is a person who is plugged into the word of God day and night. Not only are they plugged into the word of God, but the word of God shapes their life. It shapes, is guided by their life. I mean, the word of God is guiding their life, and the word of God is directing their life, right? That they're so plugged into God's word that everything, their worldview, their politics, everything that they view is shaped by God's word. And when they move, when they make decisions, they're guided by God's word. They're not guided by people. They're guided by God's word. They're not guided by pastors. They're guided by God's word. Right? Because sometimes I think we tend to put pastors on a pedestal and believe that whatever pastor says, whatever I believe, whatever I'll be guided by. But here's the thing, right? Sundays are great. Church is amazing. Hearing sermons are really good things and they're necessary, but they're not sustainable for life. What's sustainable is being plugged into the Word of God. Right? What's sustainable is understanding what God is trying to say through this text, through the Bible. And when we're plugged into God, then we're able to become the plug for everyone else. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. But it is important that if you consider yourself to be blessed, may it not be because of the things that you obtain, but it's because of who you're plugged into. Right? You're blessed. It says, blessed is the person who delights in the Word of God, who delights in the law of the Lion, who delights and is meditating and is shaped by, is guided by, is directed by the Word of God. This is what it means to be blessed. To be blessed is to be plugged in to God's Word. Amen? Because God's Word is powerful. God's Word is sustainable. It sustains us. It gives us life. It gives us wisdom. There is nothing in this world quite like the Word of God. Like I said, science is finally catching up to what the Bible has been saying for thousands of years. What we have known as believers, as followers of Christ, we have known all these things for thousands of years, and science and the study and psychology is finally catching up to it. This is the power of the Word of God. So my hope is that your understanding of blessed after today's sermon may change. Because there is a huge misconception of what it means to be blessed, what it means to be happy. And here it is in verse 3 of Psalm chapter 1. It says this: blessed, right? Blessed is a person that person who's blessed is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Now, beneath the surface of what it means to be blessed is found in this text, in this specific verse, in verse 3. Now, like I said earlier, there's a huge misconception of what it means to be blessed. Everyone says blessed, right? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored, brother. Oh, I'm blessed. Are you blessed, sister? Right? We say that all the time in the church. We use that word so loosely, and we don't even really understand the meaning of what the Bible means when it says that we're blessed. The misconception is that being blessed means to accumulate and to possess as much as possible. That's what it means to be blessed. When someone gets something that is valuable, they say, oh, I'm blessed. When someone has something that's valuable, they say, man, I'm blessed. When they accumulate something, when they get something, when they receive something, they say, I'm blessed. They define that as being blessed. But the Bible continues to describe a person who is blessed as a tree that produces fruit. A tree that gives away fruit. Right? Through research, I discovered that organisms that eat from the tree, from the fruit of the tree, benefit more from the tree than the tree benefits from itself. Right? Organisms that eat from the fruit of the tree benefit more from the tree than the tree actually benefits itself. The tree is a better resource to the organisms around it than it is a resource for itself. The tree is not blessed because it is a resource to itself. The tree is blessed because it is a resource to those around it. Right? Essentially, the tree is a plug to the organisms around it. Right? And we know this because even Proverbs says that God's people are called to be lenders, not borrowers. Right? And again, I know it may seem like we're talking about finances, but this is not just a financial thing. This is in every aspect that God's people, as God's people, we're called to be lenders, not borrowers. We're called to be the resource, not the one seeking the resource. Why? Because we are plugged to the main source. Because as Christians, as believers, as followers of Christ, we follow the ultimate source, the ultimate resource. We ourselves now become a resource to those around us, around us, because when people look to us, they see, wow, they're a resource to my life. They are a joy, or they bring a lot of resources to our life, to our community. We are the plug. Again, not just financially, but in every way, we are called to be a resource to those around us. Right? The purpose of a tree is to produce fruit. That's the purpose of a tree, is to produce fruit. But many of you are producing, and which is great, a lot of us are producing, a lot of us are a resource, right? And we're producing a lot. But what I found is that although we're producing, we're the only beneficiary of the things that we produce. We produce, but we're the only people who benefit from it. We create a lot of things. We make a lot of things. We make money. We do all these things. But when you look around you, you're the only one benefiting from the things that you're producing. Now, scientifically speaking, the only way a tree benefits from the fruit that it produces is if the fruit falls off the tree or if it's taken off by an organism. That's the only way, that's one of the only ways that a tree can can benefit from the fruit that it produces. If the fruit stays on the tree cannot benefit from the fruit. Does that make sense? I'll clear it up in a little bit, but God is so clever in how he creates this world. He created this world in such a creative and clever way, because even if it wanted to, the fruit cannot physically stay on the tree, right? The fruit can, I mean, we have a little lemon tree in our backyard, and in this lemon, and we, you know, we have a dog that goes in our backyard and uses our backyard as a restroom. And so one of the things that our dog does, he, for some reason, is very attracted to this lemon tree. And he goes to the lemon tree and pees on it. And so because he pees on this lemon tree, my wife is scared to eat from the tree, okay? She's like, I don't want to taste things that don't taste like lemons. And I don't know what her logic is. I don't know if, you know, if this is a logical point of view. But she, you know, she's like, well, I'm just scared. I'm not going to eat from it. So we never eat from it. But every time I look from the tree, it grows a lemon. And the lemon never stays on the tree. Right? And the lemon never stays on the tree. If one way or another, the lemon is always falls off the tree, or someone takes it off and an organism takes it off and eats it. Right? Something takes it off and eats it. It never stays on the tree. But here's the point. The point is that the fruit is made for the purpose of benefiting those around it. Whether it falls from the tree and the fruit falls on the soil and the soil seeds gets the lemon and it benefits, the soil benefits from the lemon, or someone takes it off the tree and they eat it and that person benefits from it as well. And regardless of what it is, in order for the tree to actually benefit from its fruit, it has to fall off the tree. It has to find a way to get off that tree. And so what I've realized in our Christian walk, in our Christian life, is productivity is not really an issue for most people. The issue is the purpose of your productivity, right? Many produce for the purpose of self-preservation. Many produce and work and create for the purpose of self-gratification or self-promotion or self-indulgence. And we put more effort when it benefits us, right? Then we put more effort when it benefits others. You know what I mean? We'll work harder if we know it's going to benefit us rather than when it benefits other people or others, right? And even Jesus said this. Jesus said, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will find it, right? Many of you have deep faith. Many of you have a deep roots in God's word. Many of you know God's word. Many of you read and study God's word, but you're the only one benefiting from it. Many of you have a lot of faith. Many of you know the word of God. You've memorized verses. You've done all these things. But when you look at your life, you're the only one who's benefiting from it. Apple, iPhones. they recently, they released the iPhone 15. And one of their big announcements, if you know me, I am a huge Apple nerd. I love Apple, anything related to Apple, iPhones, iPads, everything. I love it. And every time they release a new phone, I am, every third Tuesday of every September, they have this big event and they stream it live online on YouTube. And I am there every third Tuesday of every September, every year. I am there sitting in front of my screen waiting for this live event to come on. And they share all the same things that they shared last year. You know what I mean? No really big updates, but I'm just still waiting for something new, right? So anyways, I'm that guy. So last week or 2 weeks ago, they released the iPhone 15 and I was watching, and one of their big announcements during this presentation is how they want to become carbon neutral, right? That they want to save the planet and all these things. And they had this cheesy skit that they did and about how they're going to save the planet and all these things. And one of the ways they're doing that is by, they kind of bragged about how many trees that they plant, that they didn't plant trees, they planted forests, right? And they planted a bunch of trees, they planted a bunch of forests in three different countries, and they were very proud of that. And I was like, man, why? And I started thinking to myself, I was like, why is it that every time I look at a presentation of a company, they're always talking about planting trees? Like, why are trees so, and I live in LA, so we don't have a lot of trees there, we have a lot of streets and street signs and stop signs, but that's about it. And, and I'm like, why is it so important to plant trees? So I started researching. I was trying to figure out why does planting trees save the planet? I just didn't understand that, right? Again, I'm from Dallas, which is a pretty big city, and I was mainly raised there, and education there is terrible, so I didn't learn a lot. So I don't learn a lot in school. Don't make fun of me. My church makes fun of me for this, but I didn't know the benefit of trees, essentially, for the planet, okay? And one of the ways, the reason why they were talking about planting trees is because there's so many benefits of a tree that, I mean, there's so many things that we benefit from trees being planted or being around it. And so I looked it up, and here's some of the, I don't know if you guys know this, but here's some things that I learned about why it's important to plant and preserve trees. All right. Number one, trees absorb carbon dioxide, CO2 from the atmosphere, right? Which is, helps mitigate climate change. That's important. Make fun of me if you want. But I didn't know this. Trees release oxygen. I know, duh, right? But I didn't know for some reason. This was news to me. I was like, they release oxygen, which obviously oxygen is essential for life. Amen. trees and forests provide habitats and food sources for a wide variety of plants and animals. I knew that one. Trees influence temperature, humidity, right, patterns, and they help regulate local and global climates. Trees stabilize soil for their roots, preventing erosion and maintaining fertile land for agriculture, which you guys should know a lot about, right? I'm kidding. I'm so sorry. I said I would not make fun of this. Anyways, all right. Agriculture is good. Jesus used that analogy a lot. Okay, so anyway, forests, right? They act as natural water filters. They purify water, regulating water flow to reduce floods and droughts. Forests provide resources like timber, nuts, fruit, food, and all these different things, contributing to the economy and livelihood of us. Forests offer opportunities for hiking. God loves hiking, right? And for camping, for wildfire, for watching and ecotourism. Spending time in forests reduces stress, reduces anxiety, it helps our mental health. I don't know if you guys know this, right? Forest holds cultural and spiritual significance for many communities all across the world. I mean, just look at how much the Bible talks about trees and uses agriculture for a spiritual context. Remember how Jesus talks constantly about agriculture and trees and planting seeds and all these things. So it has a huge cultural and spiritual significance all over the world. Forests are is critical for habitats and for endangered species. Trees improve the air quality for human health. Forests absorb and store excess rainfall, reducing the risk of downstream flooding. Trees provide shade and reduce urban heat. Islands, lowering temperatures in urban areas and so forth and so, and so much more. Trees have so much benefit for our planet. I learned all these things and I was just amazed just how important and significant trees are. And it kind of just hit me at that moment that trees are resources for the earth. And the Bible compares a blessed person to a tree. The Bible compares a person who's happy to this tree that has all these benefits for the earth. The purpose of your life is more for the benefit of those around you than it is for yourself. The Bible compares a blessed person to a tree that is, has a significant impact on the earth. And when we think about us as followers of Christ, if we consider ourselves to be blessed, the definition of someone who's blessed is not someone who attains and has a bunch of resources, but a person who's blessed is someone who has a bunch of resources and is giving it away. That's what a blessed person is. A blessed person is not someone who produces a bunch of fruit and then that fruit just stays on the tree. No, a person who's blessed is a person who produces a lot of fruit and the organisms around it take from that tree and they themselves become a tree, become a resource, right? When a tree produces fruit, the fruit falls on the ground, and when the fruit falls on the ground, the seed, what happens is the seed again gets planted and it becomes a whole cycle, right? Where a tree grows, a tree produces fruit, and the fruit drops from the tree, and then the soil takes it and plants another tree, and then that tree again plants another fruit, and that fruit becomes a tree, and then there's a cycle of planting and growing. That's what a tree is. And that's, as Christians, as believers, as followers of Christ, that's what we're called to do. Here's the great part of this all. When others benefit from the tree itself benefits as well. Right? The tree benefits as well. The key is, though, that in order for the tree to benefit from its fruit, other organisms have to benefit from it first. Right? It has to benefit from itself. So how does a tree benefit itself? Well, when the tree produces fruit, and the fruit either falls or it's eaten by an organism, it benefits itself in a lot of ways, but I want to talk about two main ways that the tree benefits itself from when the fruit falls from the tree. Number one is this, all right? When the tree produces the fruit, it produces fruit, the root of the tree begins to deepen, right? When the tree produces fruit, it gets deeper roots. Literally, if you know this again, this is all from things that I'm learning, but as a pastor, I'm not educated to learn this, okay? So have mercy on me. But as a tree produces fruit, I learned that every time the tree produces fruit, the roots actually grow deeper into the ground. Did y'all know that? Right? As a tree produces fruit, the roots begin to dig deeper in the ground. And when you think about a healthy tree, or when a scientist or whatever, looks at a tree and they try to define how it's healthy, they look at how deep the roots are. And if the roots are really deep, then they can conclude that the tree is actually healthy. So the health of a tree is determined by how deep the roots are. Right? The deeper the roots, the stronger the tree. That's why it benefits. So, and the way that it gets deeper roots is by producing fruit. The more fruit it produces, the deeper the root. And the deeper the root, the stronger the tree. Does that make sense? How amazing is that? Because in Jeremiah, if you want to go to Jeremiah chapter 17, look at this. In Jeremiah chapter 17, again, the Bible talks a lot about trees. And here's why. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, it says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream, and it does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. Wow. The deeper the roots, the stronger the tree. When a tree produces fruit, the root begins to dig deeper into the soil. And when the root begins to dig deeper in the soil, the tree is able to stand stronger. So when that heat comes and when wind comes, the tree can still stand. The Bible is saying when we have deeper roots in God, when we have deeper roots in who God is, and when we meditate on the Word, when we are plugged into the source, when we are plugged into the Word of God, we produce fruit. And when we produce fruit, we begin to dig deeper and have deeper roots in life. And when we have deeper roots in life, when trials and tribulation comes, we are able to stand strong because we have deeper roots, which was produced by us producing the fruits. When we become a resource to the organisms around us, when we become a resource, when the people around us begin to see us as a resource, when we become the plug, when people get to see our fruit and take the fruit and benefit from it, we begin to dig deeper roots. And when we dig deeper roots, we stand stronger when heat comes. And I love that the Bible says when heat comes. It doesn't say if heat comes. It says when heat comes, we are able to stand stronger because we produce fruit. So when the tree produces fruit, number one benefit is that it digs a deeper roots. The roots become deeper and stronger and longer. Number two, when the fruit falls or it's eaten by an organism, there's something called a reproduction, which I explained earlier. When an organism consumes the tree's fruit, the seed is thrown on the ground, which eventually goes into the soil, and it begins to reproduce into another tree that produces fruits. And there's a cycle that happens, and the cycle is planting and growing, planting and growing. And this tree begins to reproduce itself, all because it produced the fruit and other organisms benefited from that fruit. And again, this is a beautiful biblical representation of the Great Commission, right? In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, Therefore, this is Jesus talking to disciples at the end of it all. And he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. For surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age. When God plants a seed in us, when we are plugged into the source, God plants a seed in us, and that seed deepens our root in life. We're able to stand strong when He comes. And then when others take from us, when we become the resource to others, when we become those who are givers, generous people, and when we become people who are just constantly giving, constantly willing to give of ourselves rather than just keep everything, then we begin to plant other trees, right? Then we begin to produce, and people would see the fruit of our life, and they begin to become beneficiaries of the things that we produce, the things that God produces in us. And so the point and the purpose of a Christian life is to have deep roots in God and to multiply and reproduce our faith in others, right? My encouragement, my challenge to you is to take inventory of your life. Who benefits from your deep roots in God? Who benefits from your deep roots in life? Is it only you, or are the people in your church benefiting from your deep roots? Are people at your job benefiting from your deep roots? Are people in your class benefiting from your deep roots? Who is benefiting from your relationship with God? Is it only you, or is it the people around you? This points back to Jesus in so many ways. And the number one way is that Jesus is the tree of life. He is our main source. I learned that, trees produce oxygen. And to me, that is a clear illustration of Jesus being the tree of life, because he is the source of our breath. He gives breath to us. He is the oxygen of our life. He gives us life himself. And so when we are rooted in Jesus, he helps us become the plug for others. He helps us become the resource for others. So when we walk around as Christians, my prayer, my hope is that people look at you, and when they encounter you, when they run into you, they walk away better than they found you. That when we encounter people, when we encounter jobs, when we go into jobs, that we leave better than we found it. When we go into relationships, that we leave better than we found it. That when we have encounters with people, when we have encounters with organizations, when we have encounters with anything in this world, that people take from the fruit that is produced in us and it benefits their life. We are called to be benefits for those who are around us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time that we have. Thank you for your word, Father God. And I just pray that you help us become people who not only benefit from being in plugged into you, Father God, but that others benefit from our life being plugged into you, Father God. And so I pray that we become the resource for those who are around us. And we thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you that your word is living and it's active. We thank you that your word is true. We thank you that science is catching up to your word, Father God. And we thank you that you have always and will always be the resource and the source of our life and our oxygen and our breath and our lungs. Lord, we love you. We honor you. We worship you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. God bless y'all. Have a great Sunday. Thank you so much.